This day of Eid is a day that is a gift from Allah to us as believers, as servants of Allah. And when we look at our celebration and how we commemorate this day, it is firstly, after having engaged in the worship of Allah, do we celebrate? And then, followed by that, our celebration is also in an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in an act of worship. We have our day of happiness after having diligently applied ourselves for the month of Ramadan. And then Allah has granted us this joyful day of Eid. Similarly, there is a greater day of Eid that waits for us, and that is when we enter into Jannah. And for us to enjoy that day, like how we enjoy today, we also have to diligently apply ourselves in the worship of Allah throughout our lives. And then when we leave this world and we present ourselves before Allah and we enter into Jannah, that will be our true day of Eid. And therefore throughout our lives, we will have to continue to worship and work hard in the obedience of Allah. In a hadith it comes, Ala inna sil'atallahi ghaliyah, ala inna sil'atallahi jannah. The merchandise of Allah is expensive. Meaning that there is exertion, there is application, there is due consideration that needs to be granted. And what is it that is at the end being offered? Ala inna sil'atallahi jannah. The merchandise that is being offered is Jannah. So during our lives and at various junctures, we get the thought that, you know, I've had such a spiritual month. I've had a good Ramadan. It's been a good month for us. We fasted, we performed our tarawih, we made khatams. Maybe I need to move to the next level. Maybe I need to look at how I can improve myself. This thought comes to us in our mind. And the ulama after so, if they say this is called warid, it's an inspiration that comes to you. Now, this thought that comes to your mind, it's like a guest. When you have guests visiting your home, if you're hospitable, if you're warm, if you entertain, if they feel welcome, they will return. But if you're cold, you shun them, you ignore them, you know, you're not interested in them, the guests will not return. So when that thought comes that I need to move to the next level, I need to now improve myself, I need to try and gain a closer relationship with Allah, that is a guest from Allah to you. And how you entertain that guest, that will then decide whether that guest will visit you a second time or a third time. If you ignore the guests, and what is the ignoring of the guests? I'm still young. Later on, the time will come. Everything has its appointed time. Now we still need to enjoy. Or I'm okay. You know, there are people that are worse off. I go to the masjid. Then you have shown disregard for the guest of Allah. And that guest may not visit you ever again. And life may pass you by. And how quick it would pass. There was once an encounter with a person with the angel of death. And the person said to the angel of death that, you know, how strange and unique you are. In this world, when someone is coming to visit someone, they give them a heads up. I'm coming. Are you at home? Is everything okay? Are you available to meet me? And then they come. But you, suddenly you pounce. Suddenly you appear. And then you don't give a person a warning. So the angel of death, Israel, said, no, you're mistaken. I give multiple warnings before I come. But it is that you do not heed the warnings. So he asked then, what are the multiple warnings that you're talking about? What are you talking about that you give multiple warnings before you pounce, before you strike? So the poet encapsulates this and he says, إِذِ الرَّجُلُ وَلَدَتْ أَوْلَادُهَا وَجَعَلَتْ أسقامها تعتادها وبليت من كبر أجسادها فتلك زروء قد دنت حصائدها. That when a person has grandchildren and the aches and the pains in the body start increasing and you start feeling weakness coming in your body, then know that the time for the harvesting of the crops are close. Then know that the time of the harvesting of the crops are close. The angel of death said that I come to you in different forms. When you have a headache, I'm there to remind you, one day you've got to leave. When you have children, when you have grandchildren, I'm knocking and telling you, time is moving on. What preparation are you making? When you have some sickness that has now become a chronic sickness, I'm reminding you again. But what can I do if you do not want to heed the reminders? And you push it aside and you find some plausible explanation for that? So our life is short and we need to value every opportunity that we have. And every moment is a golden opportunity. Every moment for change is a golden opportunity. One day Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling with an entourage of people that were his associates. And then they passed by a qabr. So he dismounted his conveyance and he performed 2 rakat salah. People were then waiting to see, you know, what is this all about? 2 rakat salah, there's a qabr. So they waited, he completed his salah. And then they started questioning him. So they asked him, whose qabr is this? So he says, I don't know. So they asked him, why did you perform salah? Was it, you know, some very respectable figure that you wanted to perform salah and send a reward for him? What is it that led you to perform salah? He said, no, I don't know who the person is. So they asked him, why did you, you know, dismount, stop everyone and you perform salah? He said, as we were traveling and I saw the qabr, the thought came in my mind that this person has passed away. Even if he wants to perform 2 rakat salah now, he cannot. Yeah, I am. I'm alive. I have the opportunity. Let me perform 2 rakat salah now and seize the moment. And that is why I perform the 2 rakat salah. So every opportunity that we have, when that feeling comes in us, we should always act on it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very appreciative. You know, we have our understanding of what are the important actions. And these are our fundamentals. We know the 5 pillars of the deen: to recite the shahada, to perform salah, to give your zakah, fasting, hajj. And that is what formed the basis of our deen. But that is not the be all and the end all of our deen. In the verse of the noble Quran, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. If you do an atom's worth of goodness, you will see the benefit of it. And likewise with evil. We have our understanding of what are big things that we do, a big contribution. And then we trivialize and we undermine certain things. But remember that big and small criteria that we have in our minds, that is not the same criteria that Allah has. Allah has a different system in how His mercy works and what He would like to take to task on. That is His sole prerogative. And we have no way of questioning that. That is the sole discretion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many avenues of goodness. There are many ways to gain closeness to Allah. And there are many ways to attain your Jannah. And today I'd like to share with you 5 ways in which you can attain your Jannah. 5 ways that we may at times think that these are small actions, insignificant actions, yet they have proven to be the ticket to Jannah for people in the past. The first that we want to talk about is removing something harmful from the pathway. In a hadith it comes that iman has more than 60 branches. The highest being La ilaha illallah. Wa adna, and the lowest is imatatul adha anit tariq, to remove something harmful from the pathway. And in the hadith it comes that when you remove something from the pathway, it is a means of charity. بينما رجل يمشي في الطريق, there was a man who was walking on a pathway. فوجد غصن شوكة, and he saw a thorny branch on the pathway, and he thought to himself that this may cause inconvenience to someone else. Let me inconvenience myself by moving it out of the pathway. فشكر الله فغفر له. And Allah Rabbul Izzah appreciated this, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala forgave him and grant him entry into Jannah. We will say, you know, look at what's laying on the road. Our municipality is useless. They're supposed to be doing this. We see something in the masjid, something out of place. The muazzin is not, you know, he's not up to scratch here. He's not doing his job. What about you doing what could earn you Jannah? There was a lady in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who would clean the masjid, and she passed away. And the Sahaba attended to her burial on their own and didn't want to inconvenience the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَكَأَنَّمَا صَغَرُوا أَمْرَهَا. They thought of it as insignificant. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, where's the lady? He said, no, she passed away and we attended to her burial. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that take me to her qabr. And then he said, إِنَّ هَذِي الْقُبُورِ مَمْلُوعَةً ظُلْمًا. That these qubur are filled with darkness. لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُنَوِّرُهَا لَهَا بِصَلَاتِ عَلَيْهَا. That perhaps Allah will make it light for her because of me making dua at her qabr. How fortunate she was to have the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whose du'as was accepted, make dua at her qabr. That was her ticket, and it was because of cleaning the masjid. And there are many ways, you know, this Ramadan I performed the Taraweeh Salah at a masjid in my city, Port Elizabeth. And throughout the month, there was one brother who would come to the masjid at the time when the masjid was open, but there weren't many people. And he would clean the masjid himself. Vacuum, attend to the bathrooms. And this was his way of giving charity. The doors of charity and the doors to gain closeness to Allah is many. The second action that I'd like to share with you is to show kindness to the creation of Allah. The famous incident that we know about, that بَيْنَمَا كَلْبٌ يَتُوفُ بِرِقْيَةٍ, that there was a dog that was walking around a well. كَادَ الْعَطْشُ يَقْتُلُهُ. It was on the verge of dying because of extreme thirst. And there was a prostitute from the prostitutes of the Banu Israel who had just come to the well and had satiated her thirst. And then looked at the dog and said that this dog is experiencing what I am experiencing. She removed her leather boot and filled water and gave the dog to drink. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated this and forgave her. There's also an amazing incident that there was a muhaddith in the past who had dedicated his entire life to service of hadith, which is a very honorable and noble thing, something of a very high prestige in the academic circles. And he would deliver khutbahs, and he would deliver lectures, and he would go to different places. And he did this with the hope of his salvation, that this will be my ticket to Jannah. And then he passed away. And someone saw him in a dream. And they asked him that, you know, how have things been? How has Allah treated you? So he says, I have received such a position that is far beyond what I am deserving of. Allah has honored me in a unique manner, but it has unfolded in a very strange way. All that I had done in terms of my lectures, in terms of my service of hadith, in terms of all the other things that I did, was put on one side. And on one occasion when I was writing down the ahadith, and at that time it was the time of the ink pod, where the wooden pen would be dipped in the ink, and then they would write, and then they would dip, and then they would write. It says, on one occasion when I was writing the hadith, a fly came and sat on the ink pod and was sipping from the ink. And I was about to write a hadith. And I looked at the fly and said, this fly is thirsty. Let me just wait for a moment for the fly to satiate its thirst. And then I will continue. And he says that all my service of hadith on one side, which I'd hoped would be my salvation, and this one action of mine was so beloved to Allah that this was the means of my salvation. This was the means of my salvation. Showing kindness to the creation of Allah. That is a creature, a fly. Imagine we've shown kindness to Ahsan al-Taqweem, the best of Allah's creation, to fellow human beings who Allah has created in the most perfect mold. The third way in which we can gain entry to Jannah, it is through showing leniency in our business dealings. It is stated in the narration that the angels had come to take out the soul of a person. And the angels then asked this person that, what good deeds have you done in your life? Mada amilta? So he said, nothing. I don't have anything to show. So they said to him, think, apply your mind. Is there anything that you can remember? So he thought and he thought and he said, what I can say is that I was a businessman and I had my people working for me. And I used to tell those who were working for me that Undur ila al-mu'sir wa tajawwaz anil musir. The one who is tight, give him respite, give him longer terms, allow him more time to pay back. And the one who is wealthy, give him some discount, give him some, drop off some portion of the price. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated that became a means of his forgiveness. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was once dealing with someone and he purchased a garden from the person, an orchard. And then he shook the man's hand, which was common practice to say, the deal is closed. It's now completed. 6,000 gold coins. And after the deal was completed, the man said, you know what? Actually, I have a change of heart. I want 10,000. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala was present. He turns to Sayyidina Uthman and he says, the deal is done. It's closed on 6,000. You're entitled, it's yours. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala says, I'll give you the 10,000. And the reason why I'm giving you this is, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that Allah will forgive the person who is easygoing when he's buying and he's easygoing when he's selling. So I am going to accede to his demand. And you know what we say? Live like brothers but deal like strangers. When it comes to business, then I'm a different person. Then leave family one side. Leave family out of this. So friends, that's a different matter. Yes, we can have our coffee together, but when we're dealing, then I'm a different person. I want my pound of flesh. Whereas being lenient, overlooking, giving discount, being accommodating, that was a means of entering into Jannah for a person. That is the third easy good deed that we share with you this morning. The fourth one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tahkiranna min al ma'rufi shay'a walau an talqa akhaka biwajhin taliqin. Do not underestimate any good deed, even if it means meeting your brother with a smiling face. Tabassamuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqatun. Smiling at someone, it is a means of charity. So this is how vast and the great opportunities that we have. There's a Chinese proverb that says, a man who does not smile should not own a shop. Because it benefits you. What a smile can do, it endears, it draws people close to you. And it shows that you have a warm, endearing, compassionate disposition. Something that you take for granted, that our smile on the face, the countenance, is a reflection of our mood. And we allow ourselves to our facial expression to be determined by what is happening around us. But what we've been called upon to deliberately exhibit and change your emotional state to one of more optimism and endearing when you're meeting people, to bring them closer. What a smile can achieve, the sword will never be able to achieve. And the fifth one and the final one that I'd like to share with you, it is a kind word. Nabi Sassam said, "Ittaqun nar walau bi shiqqi tamratin." Fear the fire of Jahannam, even if it is with a piece of date. And even if you don't have a piece of date, walau bi kalimatin tayyibatin. A kind word, a good word that you share with someone, that could be a means of your entry into Jannah. And you don't know. Sometimes you say something sarcastically. Sometimes you say something to someone. You don't know what effect that will have on that person. You tell the person, he opened up a new shop. You tell him, very bad timing. You know, this is not going to make it. You demoralize him. Whereas you could have offered some optimism. You could have given him some encouragement that, you know what, this is what I advise you. These are the opportunities. This is the direction. It may be difficult, but this is how you can build on this. And you don't know what you say to someone, what effect that will have on that person. Sometimes it's just a small statement. Imam Dhahabi rahimahullah is one of the great muhaddithin of the latter years. And it is said, he had written that when he was a youngster, his own ustad, Allama Birzali rahimahullah, said to him as a young boy, looked at him and said, "Oh my, ya bunayya, كأن خطك تشبه المحدثين." Your writing style appears to be the style of the muhaddithin. And that stirred something in him and he became a muhaddith. The effect of a single word, how it motivated this great muhaddith to pursue the study of hadith. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahumullah was sitting in a dars with his fellow students, his fellow peers, and his ustaq, Imam Ishaq Rahawai, turned to the class and he said to them that, "I hope that one of you will gather a book putting together the sahih hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And Imam Bukhari said, "It came in my heart that I'd like to be that person." And Allah chose him for it. Not, you know, the kids of today. What can we say? We have no words for them. They're so bad. They only want to sit on the phone and sleep late. No. Being optimistic. Exuding positivity. Giving them some hope. And that encouragement was what took them forward and what made the difference. So when we give of such positivity, then that is what how we'll have a positive effect. So the avenues of goodness are many. And this is obviously not to say that now tomorrow I'll go and I'll move a branch from the road and say, that's my ticket to Jannah. No, we continue with our obligations. We have a responsibility. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَىٰ وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That the helpless person is the one who follows all his desires and temptations. And they say, no, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah will forgive me. We have to continue applying ourselves. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worshipping hard. Trying to get close to Allah. Doing whatever is in our capacity. But we do not know what action will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge us on. That is the prerogative of Allah. It may be a single statement that you uttered. It may be something that you removed from the path. It may be an act of kindness that you displayed to a creature of Allah. It may be a smile. Allah alone knows. We don't know. And therefore, we need to exercise every opportunity that we have. In conclusion, in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna minan nasi miftahun lil khair mighlaqun lil shar. That amongst people, Allah have made those who are openness to goodness and they close the doors of evil. And that those who open the doors to evil and close the doors to goodness. Fatuba لِمَنْ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحًا لِلْخَيْرِ مِغْلَاقًا لِلْشَرِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, glad tidings to those who are the openers of goodness and the closers of evil. Glad tidings to those who will have a positive effect in this world. In whatever capacity, and everyone has that opportunity by being miftahan lil khair, miblaqan lil shar. May Allah Rabbul Izzah make all of us. And that is our dua on this great day of Eid, a day of reward from Allah, a day of celebration, a gift from Allah to us, that we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us miftahan lil khair, miglaqan lil shar. Also at this juncture, while we are enjoying this day of Eid, our brothers in Palestine are going through very, very difficult times. May Allah open the way for them. May Allah be with them. May Allah alleviate their plight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about favorable circumstances for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal the broken hearts and those who have lost near and dear ones.